Not have a Bible on you, I suggest you grab one from the back. If you have a smartphone on you, you probably have a Bible on you, or at least access to one, so feel free to use that too. But I know what texting looks like, so don't think I can get away with moving your fingers, thinking that I know you're texting. I was a youth pastor for 10 years, I've seen it 1,000 times. These kids look down at their phones, and I'm like, get off your phone. They're like, I'm not on my phone, there's this blue glare shining in their face. I'm like, I'm not a fool. Anyways, we're in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. So I'm going to read, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into this text. So one verse today is a nice change from 1 Peter, where we were going through big or large chunks of text in 1 Peter today. One verse, and it's a short one, but it's loaded. Colossians 4, 2. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I think of your goodness. And your grace, you're a God of grace that goes beyond our understanding. Your word, Lord, says that you do not deal with us according to our sins, which means you must deal with us according to your grace, which means we receive your blessing, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your fairness, your justice, your blessings, your gifts. All these things instead of your judgment and guilt for our sin. Lord, we just praise you for being a faithful God who continues to be faithful not only to us individually, but to our families and to our church and to our community and even to our country. And we thank you, God, for being beautiful, being something that we can adore and something that we can long for, and being magnificent beyond description, for being a God who does not punish us when we sin, but loves on us and reminds us of your grace, and for being a God who provides so many things for us and gives us families and friends and church and blessings and a job and finances, and we're taken care of, and you manage so much of our life. You handle so many things in our lives, and for that we thank you, God. And we bring before you the things that prevent us from being close to you, confessing our sins and standing before you, recognizing, God, that we fail in so many ways. So with that said, God, we thank you for being a God of grace. I pray this morning that you would use me simply as an instrument to bring you glory, to change our lives, and that you would use our congregation to be fed and led into this community and in their families. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for eternal life. I'm thankful for God's word. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my three boys. I'm thankful for my home. And I could name about a million things in my home I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my vehicles. I'm thankful for our financial situation. I'm thankful for a paycheck. I'm thankful for the gifts I receive. I'm thankful for the spiritual gifts that God has given me. I'm thankful for a free country that I live in. I'm thankful that I get to worship freely in this country without any fear of persecution for doing so. I'm thankful that I have freedom to pray in public in any way that I want, whether it's a school, I am free to pray in that school, whether it's a government building, I'm free to pray in that government building, whether it's a church, I'm free to pray in this church, whether it's my home, I'm free to pray in that home. I'm thankful that God has given me absolute freedom in this country to do spiritually as I please. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Grace Church. I'm thankful for our elders. I'm thankful for our deacons. I'm really thankful for our deacons. Those guys do so much, and I'm so grateful for them. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for the future that God has planned for Grace Church. I'm thankful that God has given me a desire to preach. I'm thankful that God has given me an opportunity to fulfill that desire. I'm thankful that God has given me a desire to be a shepherd, and I'm thankful that God has given me an opportunity to fulfill that desire. I'm thankful for the vision that God has given Grace Church, and thankful for the vision that he's going to cast before you. I'm thankful for the community that we live in. I was talking to two pastors this week from Alliance Church. I sat down, had lunch with them, had a wonderful time, and we were talking about the community. And we all just see Osceola, Dresser, and St. Croix Falls and Taylor Falls as one community. Now, if you're in Osceola, you kind of see some more southern towns. Like East Farmington is like blended into Osceola almost, you know. And Somerset, it's kind of like, maybe that's all one community, but maybe from St. Croix Falls, they don't see that far south, but we do. So we have a large community. I'm thankful that we have a large community. I'm thankful for the families in that community. I'm thankful that there are single parent homes that are in need of grace and God's goodness and blessings and things. They have things, they have needs. Real physical needs. I'm thankful they have those needs, and I'm thankful that God has given those people, us, the church, to help them fulfill those needs. I'm thankful for education. I'm thankful for my children who get an education in the school system here. I'm thankful for the school system. I'm thankful for the teachers in the school system. I'm thankful for the sports in the school system. I'm thankful for other sports. I'm thankful for the NBA because I had a great time watching Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It was an awesome game. If you didn't watch it, you missed a great game. Okay, I'm thankful for sports. I love sports. That's just me. You don't have to be thankful for sports. I know some people who hate sports, and they're like, I'm not thankful for sports. I'm like, I love it. I love every sport there is, except for tennis. But I love every sport there is. Okay, fishing, hunting. I'm thankful for running. I've been running a lot lately, and my legs don't hurt, and I'm thankful that my legs don't hurt. My dad said, wait till you hit 30. My whole life, that was all I ever heard. Wait till you hit 30. Your knees are going to give out. I'm 33. My knees are strong. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I get to run. I'm thankful that at 33, I have two good knees. I'm thankful for the new pair of shoes that my wife bought me. And I'm thankful for coffee. Who's not thankful for coffee? I'm thankful for bacon. I'm thankful for all. I could go on, you guys. All right, I could go on and on. And I think you get the point. I am thankful. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I could go on and on. I could easily, and I mean easily, spend the next 30 minutes saying, I'm thankful for dot, 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 and then we could close in prayer. I could do that. And I'll tell you why I could do that. I did that all week. Because I opened up Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Actually, I was thumbing through scripture, and I'm like, so here's my kind of my process. I've shared this a little bit before, but when I am preparing to preach a sermon, and like weird 1 Peter, I knew that when I ended, you know, this verse, that the next week we're going to the next verse. But we're out of 1 Peter now, so it's kind of like I don't know what I'm going to be preaching the following week yet. So I'm going through scripture, and I'll stop and pray, God, please lead me to the text you want me to preach. I'll thumb through scripture. I'll just be reading, and there's lots of different ways it reveals it. When I thought about this verse, read it, prayed about it, instantly I just knew this is what I should be preaching.
When I did that, I read it and I saw two things in this verse. This is number one in your bulletin. I saw two things that stood out to me in this verse. One, that we should continue in prayer. That we should continue in prayer. And two, that we should pray thanksgivings. Because you read this verse, it says we should continue in prayer and pray thanksgiving. So it says continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. I saw those two things, and what did I say? I said, hey, if I'm going to preach this, shouldn't I be doing it? So this week, I said, God, I need you to force me to pray more than I normally do this week. So that at times where I would normally not think of praying, God literally put in my mind, when was the last time I prayed? Oh, I should pray! And he gave me opportunities to pray in situations and times that I normally don't think about it. And I was grateful for that. And not only did he give me more opportunities to pray, and not only did I take advantage of more opportunities to pray, and listen, I'm not trying to say, hey guys, I prayed all week, look how great I am. Not at all. What I'm telling you is there are a billion opportunities per day to pray. You just got to be aware of them. And I'm telling you this because you have those opportunities. You can make it happen. You can continue to pray more often. And not only that, but when I prayed, I asked God, you've got to give me, or I didn't really ask him, I kind of told God. I said, God, this is what I want to do this week. I want to take advantage of my time in prayer and thank you. Because Paul says, be watchful in it with thanksgiving. I want to take advantage of my prayer time and be sure to give thanks. So I filled my prayer time with opportunities to thank God. The reason I gave you this long list of things that I'm thankful for, and that some of them were very general, like I'm thankful for grace, and I'm thankful for our country, and I'm thankful for God's goodness, and you know, those are things we definitely should be thankful for. And then some of them are more specific, like coffee. I'm very thankful for coffee, all right? And that's a very specific thing, or the new pair of shoes my wife bought me. I'm grateful for those very specific things. So you can be very general and you can be very specific. My point is you could spend all day thinking of things that you are truly grateful for. When I was in college, Bible school, our teacher took a picture of a fish. Okay, so imagine a five-year-old drawing a fish, okay? It's an oval with a triangle at the back, right? Okay, a circle for an eye, and then little baby triangles in the body that look like scales. That's it. No details. That's it. Our teacher put this picture up. Our professor put this picture up and said, I want you to write down everything you see here. So we write down a fish, eyeball, scales, tail, body. Done. All right. He'd say, all right, now I want you to go back. I want you to write more. And we're like, there's nothing more to write. He's like, get detailed. And all of a sudden, you're like measuring each scale. You're like, the first scale is longer than the second. I mean, you could really, and his point was you got to scrutinize the Bible. I mean, you could really dive into it. My point is that you can scrutinize the things you're thankful for. You could go back to anything in your life and find a million ways to thank God for it. We just look at the surface. We look at the fish and we go, oh, it's a fish. Instead of saying, it's a fish, it has 12 scales. Its bottom fin is slightly smaller than its top fin. Its eyeball isn't exactly a circle. I mean, you could really start diving into the details. You can look at your life and instead of just saying, Lord, thank you for my family and this meal, amen. You could go deeper. There are endless things to be thankful for. And I won't keep giving you more examples. I'll try to resist continue giving you more examples. But there is an endless list of things. If you would take the opportunity this week to pray more often with the intent of, in those more often prayed situations, thinking of things to be thankful for, you could go on and on and on. Now, why is that important? Before we go that far, I want to tell you this. The sermon title is hashtag so I will pray. All right? And I'll tell you where this came from. Our elders email each other. And one of the elders kept ending the emails with so I will pray.
So it'd be like, we're going to talk about this, this, and that. And he says, so I will pray. And so I will pray. So he kept ending saying that he's going to pray. And then one of the other elders said, hey, this would make a pretty cool hashtag. And so he turned it into hashtag so I will pray. So now we like the elders communicate with each other with this, you know, hashtag so I will pray at like the end of our communication now. So just so you know, your elders are hip, we're cool, we're down with it, we get what's going on in the world. I think I'm the only one who uses Twitter, but either way, we hashtag so I will pray. And that's where this comes from. And then we were talking about that this week, and then God showed me this verse, and I thought, what a great sermon title. Because that is my heart for this week, and God's heart for this text, is that we will pray. And that while we pray, we do so with thanksgiving. So, in order for me to come up with a long list of things to pray for, to be thankful for, in order for me to cover the vast amount of things in which I'm thankful for, I need time, right? I need time to do so. So in order to pray the long list of things I'm thankful for, I needed to be in prayer continuously, right? In order to get through the list of things that I'm actually thankful for, the list of things that we don't often think of, if we really want to dive into the depths and the many details in which we could be thankful for in our day and in our week and in our life, I need to be in prayer continuously. Which brings me to number two in your bulletin. When I realized I needed to be continuously in prayer in order to pray these things, I realized that there is more to be thankful for than there is time to thank God. Do you get that? There is more to be thankful for than there is actual time to thank Him for those things. Meaning that there is too much to thank Him for and not enough time to thank Him. Meaning, number three in your bulletin, if we are to properly thank Him, we must be in continuous prayer. So if we are to properly give God the thanks that He is due, and there's not enough time to thank Him for the things He deserves to be thanked for, then the only way that we can truly give Him a proper thanks is if we are continuously in prayer thanking Him. Now, what does this prayer look like? There's lots of different ways in which we can pray. I think, for younger people, I've noticed this with children. When I do children's ministry, kids don't really know how to pray the way adults do. But at the same time, their prayers are just so much more meaningful because they just pray how they mean it. Sometimes the best prayers are the prayers that take 30 seconds or 5 seconds and you're in the car and you can't close your eyes and you can't get on your knees and you can't cry out to God because you're driving, right? Don't close your eyes and pray while you're driving. I mean, you can pray while you're driving. So there's different ways to pray. And then there's the prayer where you're at home alone and you're on your knees and you're bowing before God and you're spilling your heart. And there's the prayer you have at the dinner table. It's a little more formal and quicker, right? And then there's the prayer you have with a friend versus the prayer you have with your pastor versus the prayer you have with your parents versus the prayer you have with your spouse. And there's different ways in which we pray, and all those ways are fine. I don't think God sits there and scrutinizes or picks at the way in which you pray. But I think God does say, I want more. I want more of you. That's what He wants. He wants more of you. I mean, think about what prayer is. Prayer is communication, right? Imagine your relationship with your spouse without communication. Imagine if I walked in the door tomorrow, or I walked home from work tomorrow night, and Holly says hi to me, and I ignored her, and I went to our room and shut the door. I mean, she'd be like, okay. She'd open the door and be like, you ignored me, okay? And then I would be forced to talk with her because she would force me to talk with her, okay? God doesn't always kick down our door immediately and say, talk to me.
But sometimes he goes that far. Sometimes he'll wait a little bit, be like, I see you're not talking to me. Maybe I need to kick down your door. Maybe I need to put it on Pastor Mark's heart to preach to you about prayer, to kick down your door, to help you remember that you and I need to talk. I mean, the reality is you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you communicate to God through Christ in the Holy Spirit, okay? So you talk to God to enhance your relationship with Him. It's just like a marriage, just like any relationship, just like a friendship. I have friends from high school that I have not talked to in 15 years. They're not friends anymore. Why? Because I don't talk to them. It's that simple. There's no communication, there's no friendship. And we don't talk to God for a week, and we finally something happens. We're like, God, I really need your help. And he's like, oh, okay, I see. Now, here, I don't think God has that kind of attitude, however. I don't think God's like, oh, so you just now you need me. Oh, I see how it is. God doesn't have a bad attitude like that. He's not like us. He's a good father. And when we don't communicate with God, let's say for a week, and then you come running into his doors and go, I need something. He's like, what can I give you? I've been waiting for you to come to me. What can I give you? And then you beg for something. He goes, either says, it's yours. Or he says, that's not what you need right now, though. That's not what you need right now. So just because we kick down the door and he's a good father and he wants to bless us doesn't mean we get what we want. It does mean that he's jumping at the opportunity to hear us. It's like, what do you want, my son? What do you want, my child? What do you want? I want to be close to you. Talk to me. Bring it to me. We got to be in communication with God. And then Paul points out the importance in the end of verse 2 that being watchful in it with thanksgiving is so important. And it's important that we're watchful, because being watchful means that we should be alert or aware or conscious or careful to insert thanksgiving into our prayers. Because when we are encouraged to do this, because thanksgiving in our prayers situates our mind and our hearts in the right place to make requests of God. See, so having thanksgiving precede our requests puts our heart in the right place to make requests. Does that make sense? Put it to you this way. If you wanted to buy a brand new truck, we went on a boat yesterday with Chuck, and I really like the boat, and it really got me thinking, I want to buy a boat. If I want to convince my wife to buy a boat, don't you think, I mean, I would approach my wife, and I would say, wife, I want to buy a boat. I would go, wife, you look beautiful today. Did you get a new hairdo? Are those new shoes? Can we buy a boat? You know, so like, you know, you soften them up to the, you know, you work it a little bit, right? And I know I'm kind of teasing, but God wants that from us too. You know, he wants, not that God wants to be pampered before you make a request. He wants you to soften your heart towards him before you make requests. God, I have a million things to say thank you for. And after you're done, and I don't mean just saying, hey, thanks for, you know, the meal today. Hey, I have some requests. But I mean, like, really diving into the things that you're thankful for. I mean, really, make a list and make a requirement. 5 pages, college-ruled paper. That's what, 26 lines? Okay, 26 times 5 is what, 105? So, yeah, 105 things, okay, that you can make a 129. Okay, right? No. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not good at math. And so the point is, make a long, long list of things that you're thankful for, and you're forced to make a long, long list. You run out of your top 10. You get out of top 10 territory, and you're like, uh-oh, I've got 90 some to go. Trust me, they're there. I mean, you can get detailed. And you can be thankful for everything. And don't think it's silly. I don't have to thank God for that. That's a little thing. Be thankful for the little. Be thankful for everything. And when we start thanking God in that proper way, and we approach him with that attitude, it's like approaching our wife before you ask her to buy something nice, you know? It's you're softening not just them up, but you're softening yourself up to the person that you're talking to. And it changes the position of your heart and your mind as you approach God and make a request. It changes the way you think before you make that request. Notice the beginning of the verse. Paul says, not just to pray, not just to continue in prayer, but to continue steadfastly in prayer. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, pray without ceasing. It means don't stop praying. Now it doesn't mean, like I said, you know, if you're in the car and you're driving, you can't stop praying. If you're in the middle of a meeting, you can't stop praying. You don't stop praying ever. That's not exactly what it means. It means continue to pray. Okay, it means that we should be faithful. Steadfast means to be faithful in an activity or constant or repetitive in that activity. So the activity in which we're to be constant and faithful and repetitive in is prayer. And then we do that watchfully with thanksgiving. So we are steadfast, meaning continuing to be constantly praying while being watchful or conscious or aware to insert thanksgiving. So, how do I pray? I mean, that's ultimately the question. I think, honestly, for a lot of Christians, we don't pray enough. We don't know how to pray. We spend enough time not praying that we don't know how to pray right. And now let me say this. There is no right way to pray. There is no wrong way to pray. Talk to God, period. I don't care how you do it, just talk to him. He knows you, he knows where you're at. He knows how you communicate, he knows you better than you know you. Just talk to him. There's no wrong way to do it. Out loud, in your head, with someone else, in the car, at the dinner table, at home, in the bathroom, in the shower, in the kitchen, I don't care. At work, wherever, however, whatever, just talk to him. No right way, no wrong way. No time period that is satisfactory. No, you know, it wasn't 30 seconds. It's not really a prayer. God wasn't listening. And sometimes I think as Christians, we think we've got to have this devout feeling of I've really surrendered my heart to the Lord and on my knees in an attitude of worship before he really hears me. That's not true. I mean, if I want to talk to my wife, do I have to court her for 15 minutes before she actually listens? No, I say, hey wife, and we start talking. That's it. That's how the conversation starts. Sometimes she wants that. It's the same thing with God, right? Hey God, he's listening. Hey God, he's listening. Say what you want. At the same time, I think often he's saying, can you bring me more? I love our short talks. I love our quick communication, but I want more. I want your heart today. So I make a point, personally, I don't know about you, I make a point at least 3 times a week, and it's usually like Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and it doesn't always happen because I don't always have this time on those days, to, in my office, now granted, you guys, not all of you have offices where you are by yourself, and you get to do these things, so find a time when you can do it. I kneel on my couch and I bow my head on my couch and I'm like, I'm shutting out the world and I am just like, all yours, God. Okay? And whatever comes from that comes from that. Sometimes it's different. You know, it changes every week. My point is that there is no right way and there's no wrong way. But sometimes we give God the bare minimum of our attention and of our communication. I mean, don't forget that, like, you can pray to God anytime. God, I need help communicating with this congregation right now. That was a prayer. It was 4 seconds long. That was a prayer. God heard me. He listened. I believe it is his will that I communicate properly with you. I believe that according to 1 John chapter 5, if we ask anything according to his will, he will give it to us. Because he wants to fulfill his will. So, I think he's answering this prayer.
It was a quick prayer, took 4 seconds, he's going to answer it. I'm confident of that. I could be wrong, but I'm confident of that. Does God want just that from me, just those 4 seconds, every few times, a couple times a day? I think he wants more. So, I want to help you give him more, okay? So I just want to be clear, disclaimer, there is no wrong way to pray, but I want to give you what I call the 5 ways to pray, okay? This is one way to pray, but 5 things you can insert into your prayer and a way to do it that I think helps us pray. And in fact, I put little bookmarks, I cut them into slices instead of half sheets, and I put them in your bulletin insert, If there aren't enough bulletins, there's a pile of them in the back. So just look like little bookmarks that says 5 ways to pray. It has numbers 1 through 5. Stick that in your Bible. Use it as a bookmark in your Bible. And you have it with you at all times, and you can follow that along as a way to pray when you really want to give God your. So it's a practical, applicable way to pray. I'm going to walk you through it right now. 5 ways to pray. Okay? And so you can take these 5 things. And here's the thing, I put them in specific order. Now, if you don't do these or you do them out of order, there's no wrong way to pray. You're not wrong if you do them differently than this. Okay, this is a combination of Matthew Henry, he died a long, long time ago, hundreds of years ago. And he had like the 7 ways to pray, and I kind of modified it into 5 and made it more palatable for us. So there are things in prayer that you can add to this list of 5, and you don't have to do all 5 every time. You know, here's the thing. Our quick prayers are often filled with what? Requests, right? If we have a quick prayer, it's a request. God, I need your help right now. And we dive into it, right? Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need this. I need this. I need. Can you? Those are our quick prayers. So when they're quick, and I think God loves them. I think he totally enjoys hearing his children come to him. I love that my kids need me. I'm not looking forward to the day when my oldest says, I don't need you, Dad. Like, yes, you do. You know, like, as a parent, you want your kids to need you. So here's the thing. I think that God wants us to need him, so he's okay with our quick requests. But at the same time, why aren't our quick prayers ever quick moments of adoration? God, you're awesome. Done. No requests, just you're awesome. Why aren't those ever our quick ones? Do we think that we have to like lay on the floor and like pour our heart out to God to worship him? No reason today, God. Thank you for my house. You know, no other reason today, God, but thank you for this church. No requests, just thank you. Hey, God, you're awesome. Hey, you're beautiful. Hey, you're gracious. Hey, you're faithful. I mean, you could go on and on and on. There's a million things to be thankful for. There's a million things to worship him for. There's a million things to praise him for. Why aren't our short ones ever something like that? I just wonder. Because we only ever think of the giver when we have a need that we want him to give us. So, here are the 5 things, and you have them in front of you. Number 1. Begin your prayer with adoration. Adoration. Adoration means to love, to admire, to honor, to respect, to take pleasure, and to adore God. And it's important to begin prayer by reflecting on who God is and what he has done and communicate this to him. Much like I said, our spouse wants to know how much we love them even after years and years of marriage. Okay, after years and years of marriage. Don't you still want to feel loved? Right? And I think the longer you're married, the more you want that. Because the more you know how satisfying it is. So God wants to feel loved by us. Don't you want your kids? Don't you want you to feel loved by your children? God wants to feel loved by his children. So let's take time to begin our prayers with adoration. How do I adore God in prayer? I'll give you a few examples. Lord, thank you for being faithful because you showed your faithfulness to me this week through ... Lord, thank you for your grace, that you are a gracious God. Lord, thank you that you are a God of kindness. Thank you, Lord, that You know, and you could go on and describe many things that he's actually done for you throughout the week. Just, you can list his characteristics, his attributes. Thank you for being an all-powerful God. Thank you that I can trust your sovereignty. And you showed me how I could trust your sovereignty this week by doing dot, dot, dot. You could go on and just adore him for who he is. And all of a sudden, you take God. See, we often think of ourselves as here and God is here. And we can just kind of jump up on the ledge and go, hey, God, how you doing up here? And God's like, you got this all wrong. You've got me down here. Let's start our prayer by adoring me and elevate me to where I belong. Okay, number two, confession. All right, now that you recognize where I'm at, let's confess our sins and drop you to where you belong, right? So let's create the gap that is realistic. I'm up here and you're down here. Now, God is not saying you're a peon and you mean nothing to me and you belong down here and I belong up here, but it is a realistic realization for us to recognize God is above and beyond all things, holy and transcendent beyond our comprehension. And we are, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, nothing. Nothing. Without him. We're down here. Our sin has created a huge gap between us and his holiness. So, adore him to get him to where he belongs and confess your sins. God knows your sins, you guys. I think that Christians really do think they're doing a good job of hiding their sins from God. Why are we afraid to confess them? He knows. Just tell him. Here's what I think. I don't think we're afraid that he'll know. I think we're afraid he'll deal with them. That's what I think we're afraid of. If I confess my sins to God, he's going to know that I know and he's going to deal with them. And then I'm in trouble. Remember, God does not, this is what David said, God does not deal with us according to our sin, which means he deals with us according to his grace. So, a gracious God, hey, start with that. God, thank you for being a gracious God. Does not deal with me according to my sins. I adore you for that. Now, here's my sins. Elevate God to where he belongs, confess your sins, and put yourself where you belong. And when you see the gap between you and God, between where he is and where you are, it will create number three, thanksgiving. And giving thanks to God by specifically mentioning individual things in which you are thankful for, you are giving him his due praise. And it also keeps yourself in your rightful position as the receiver of God's goodness. When we continue to thank God, it reminds us that we are dependent on him. We don't just thank God because he's worthy of the thanks. We don't just thank God because he's the one who's giving us things. We also thank God because it reminds us that we need him to provide. So giving thanks reminds us to remain under his giving. Number four, requests for yourself. You adore him. You confess your sins to him. It creates this gap. You recognize, wow, you are so much greater than I am. And then we give thanks for filling the gap, for bridging the gap by grace. Grace bridges the gap. The cross bridges the gap. Jesus brings us, a transcendent holy God, and us, our sinners who are way down here, Jesus brings us back together. He's the connection between us and the Father. And then he brings us to the throne room of God where we can enter Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. We can, with confidence, boldly, those are my two favorite words in that verse, with confidence, we can boldly approach the throne of God. Why? Because of Jesus. Verse 11, through Jesus Christ, we can boldly and confidently approach the throne of God. Because though God is transcendent and holy and up here, and we are sinful creatures who are not even close to meeting God's standard, we cannot reach up on the ledge and say, hey, God, how you doing? We can't even see him. He's so far beyond us. Jesus is the bridge between us. Faith in Christ closes the gap, and now we can walk right into the throne room of God through Christ. That's a sweet gospel. That's pretty awesome. Now, tell me you can't spend a few minutes thanking God for that whole thing, right? We should be thanking him just for that every day, okay? Now, after that happens,
and you recognize all those things, how does that, adoring him, confessing your sins, putting God where he belongs, putting yourself where you belong, and then thanking him for an endless number of things that you could go on and on for, and then you make your requests. Don't you think your requests will have changed now by the end of that prayer than they would have if you had just started with the requests? Right? Don't you think it would change our requests? If we come to God right away, God, I have this, this, and this is my needs. Can you help me? I love you. Thank you so much. But could I have these needs fulfilled? But if we stop and adore him and then confess our sins and then give thanks to him and spend some time there, then all of a sudden we have requests. Don't you think it's going to change, if not the requests, at least the attitude at which we bring those requests? I think so. And then number five, requests for others. Now, why pray for our own needs before others? Doesn't that sound a little selfish? Shouldn't we pray for others first and then ourselves last? Isn't that the most humble way to do it? I call this the farmer principle. It's the principle that how well can a hungry farmer produce healthy crops for the rest of us, right? A farmer has to eat. He has to be fed and he has to be strong if he's going to be the one to go out and work the crops and provide food for us. The farmer's got to eat first. Okay? So my point is that we oftentimes don't have our own needs fulfilled, and then we try to ask for other people's needs to be fulfilled, and we aren't fulfilled in ourselves, so we're not in the right place to be asking for others' needs. I mean, you can ask God to fulfill someone else's needs no matter what situation you're in, and he still hears you. But what I'm telling you is, let's get healthy ourselves, which will create in us an awareness of the needs of others. When God is fulfilling my needs, the things I actually need, I recognize him being the giver and the one who's fulfilling those needs, and then I'm healthier to recognize the needs of others. I saw God fulfill for me a need that I didn't know I had needed until he fulfilled it. And now I see that that person has the same need, and I wouldn't have known unless God had fulfilled my need. Okay, so would it be wrong if you prayed for others before yourself? Absolutely not. This is not the end-all way to pray, guys. This is not the way to do it. It's not in the Bible that you have to do this. It's just a practical, helpful way for you to really give God your fullest attention and fill your heart and mind with the kind of attitude you need and should have to pray. Do I expect you to do this when you're walking from your office to your boss's office and your boss calls you and says, we got to talk. Get over here right now. And you got a 30-second walk to his office. Are you going to go through this whole thing? No, you're going to be like, Lord, help me. That's all that's going to come out of your mouth, right? Okay, so this is not the only way to pray. And you can modify this. And you can change. I'm just trying to give you something practical and helpful. This, if you practice this, it will change the way you pray. I promise. This blew my prayer life out of the water 8 years ago. When I first read this, I was reading Matthew Henry, a book by Matthew Henry. And he had these in there. And I was like, what? I've never prayed like that. He had more than five. I gave it to, I taught this then to our youth group at the time, and I cut a few of them off and said five. Five is manageable. Five is like plenty. This could take you an hour. It could take you 5 minutes. I just want you to have something practical and tangible that you can stick in your Bible and use this week. No excuses for I don't have time to pray. That is so not true. That is not true. Don't lie to yourself. There's plenty of time. But when you have time to pray and you take advantage of that time to pray, Paul says, be careful, be watchful, be attentive to the fact that you must insert thanksgiving. Because when we do, it reminds us that we are in desperate need of God and keeps us in our rightful place. And we should be praying continuously. Because remember, there's not enough time to thank him for the things that he's worthy of thanks for. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you. We could thank you, endlessly thank you, for all the ways in which you have blessed us and given to us and provided for us and you take care of us. And Lord, if you have given us
nothing but simply just this life to be on earth, it would still be, you'd still be worthy of praise. You'd still be worthy of all the honor and the glory. You'd still be worthy of our worship and our attention. And so this morning, Lord, as we wrap up this service and we come to you in worship and song one more time, I pray that as we sing this last song, we would say, what am I thankful for? How can I worship you right now, God, and show you how grateful I am? Move in our people to change the way they pray this week. To pray more constantly, to pray more times, to pray more often, to continue to do that. And when we do it, to pray with thanksgiving. If you make that change in our hearts, Lord, in this congregation, in these people, I believe it will impact our community. I believe it will infect our community. I believe it will change the families that live in this community, and I believe it will make a difference in this area. I believe that is your will, and I believe if we do it, you will fulfill it. I pray this in Jesus' name.